We must know what we are if we'll ever be able to see God. And if we ever need Jesus, this is why there's a need for Jesus. You understand? If you and I were okay, or if we could get okay, there is no need for Jesus. You understand that? If it was possible for you and I to get to be okay, God didn't have to come and die.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Jesus is mine and your model. He is our image. He is my goal in life. I set the person of Jesus in front of me, and I know how He was, folks. I know how He loved. Because He hung on a cross with a bunch of sinners killing Him and Him sinless. And He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's my model. Not grandmother. Not grandfather. Not my husband. Not my wife. Not my priest brother. Or my religious sister. Or the deacon. Or the pope. Jesus is our model, and we've got too many people that are following disciples of disciples of disciples. How many disciples of Jesus do we have in the world? Or are we following old brother so-and-so over here? Yeah, he was over there. Do it the way he did it. You know, that's how the church got in all this stuff we're into. Everybody doing it a different way. Isn't that right? Do you know what I've discovered is the church hogtied me and got me to go to school. And one of the things that I discovered going to school was 1,700 years ago we had as many denominations as we have today. They just all call themselves Catholic. They all fought and fought different. Just fought like a bunch of cats and dogs. Oh, it's all right to kill people. No, it isn't. Yeah, it is. This group over here said, well, you can kill them sometime. No, this group over here said, can't ever kill them. This group over here said, well, you can kill them in this situation. This group over here said, no. And that's, folks, that's what we got. You know? This is not something new. You know, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. They would think it's something new, don't they? I'm of Peter. Peter baptized me. You got to be a Jew first. You ever read that in Scripture? You got to be a Jew before you can be a Christian. See? You got to be this. You got to be that. You got to be that. No, you don't. You got to love. That's it. I don't care whether you're Jew, Greek, slave, free. Man, woman, child, what? We must love each other. For in Christ Jesus there is none of that stuff. For in love there is none of that stuff. There is no Baptist or no Roman Catholic in Christ Jesus. Maybe that's why I didn't want to get on TV. Every once in a while I come out with one of those and I say, oh Lord. But we know that's the truth. Every one of us in our heart, we know it's the truth. You know, it's... And you don't have to get rid of any of that. You know what unites us and makes us universal and Catholic? Is love. It is. It's not the Pope. And God bless... I love the Pope. And I believe he's Pope. And I believe he's head of our church. And our church has said that, folks, at Vatican Council II. We said that. We said we need to welcome our faithful Christian brothers and sisters. Just what it said. It told me and you were supposed to go work with them. And I go work with them and people fuss at me. What are you doing over there with them Baptists, David? My God. I was told to go work with them. I was told that my job was to evangelize and sanctify the world by the bishops. They all got together and had to agree on something. And when they finally agreed on something, all of them, they said, David, you as a layman are supposed to go and evangelize and sanctify the world. And I said, praise God. About time somebody told me what to do. They've been telling me to earn money. They've been telling me to get an education. They've been telling me to do this. And finally, they told us what to do. And that's what they told us to do. That's what the bishops have told us. I've said that in front of bishops. And they say, what do you mean we told you that? Well, I'd just take out my Vatican II document and say, there you go. To the lay people. And you say it in the church in the modern world. You say it all in that document. They said that they tell me and you that the church does not exist except for us. And we've been busy about getting our professions. I'm going to be a professional this, and I'm going to be a professional that. Folks, we need to be professional Christians. We need to be Christian leaders, don't we? And folks, Christian leaders has got nothing to do with organization and effectiveness. How's that grab you? We think that a leader is a person that can organize a group of people and do something that's effective. Hogwash! A Christian leader is the one that can serve the most. That's what a Christian leader is. The little quiet guy that sits over in the corner and keeps his mouth shut and just serves. Washing dishes and cooking the food and taking care of those that need some clothes. That's a Christian leader. You know that's something else the church tells us in that document? That we got a mission on this earth. We're all missionaries. This church here has got a mission on this earth. And its mission is to live the life of Christ in the middle of this pagan world. Now, folks, how many of us in the church are competing with one another to see who can serve the most? You ever seen that going on in your church? Seeing who can serve the most people. Who can relieve the most suffering. That's something, I think that kind of destroys competition. You know, I have a feeling that if Jesus came to the earth today, me and you wouldn't know it. He'd be so different than us. He'd be out there on the road hitchhiking. He didn't have any wheels. And we'd zip by him and say, I wish he had some wheels. That's right, folks. If you've read the Bible, you know that's right. I used to go down and work with the drug people, and I wanted them to be like me. And I thought they'd be healed. Well, now, none of y'all got that problem, do you? Any of you ever said, boy, if I could just get my kids to do what I'm doing, they'd be all right. What a hypocrite, folks. What a hypocrite. I did. That was exactly, you know. I know what to do. If I get them to do this and this and this and this and this, they'll be all right. And I started working with them, you know, and pretty soon I says, oh, God, I'm just like that. Oh, God, I'm like that one. Oh, God, I'm like this. Oh, my God. Lord, help me. That's where God wants us. He wants us calling on Him day and night. Here's one of the things that began to open my eyes. We started inviting people on drugs into the office. You know, we got given a building down in the middle of what's called Frenchtown, where we're from. But there's no French people there, folks. They're all black. But call Frenchtown. Sounds better, doesn't it? State capital, man. You don't call it the colored quarters in the state capital. Would you, Steve? No, it's Frenchtown. Yeah, Frenchtown. Where are you from? Well, I'm down in Frenchtown. Well, we had somebody give us a big building down there to use. The State Education, the Florida Education Association, gave us a big building down there to use. So we said, heck yeah, we'll move in it. So we moved down there. And all these people hang around on the corner out there. We don't know what's going on. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And they even spend the night out there. What are those folks doing out there sleeping all the time? I didn't know anything about drugs. I found out that's where all the crack sales go on. Everybody out there just zipped out and they sleep out there. You know, it just finally devastates them. Well, we start inviting them in the office. And we start throwing mattresses all over the floor at night, letting them sleep. So out of that, we began to have little meetings in the office. We'd get up in the morning and fix breakfast, and we'd all sit around and talk. And I started asking each person, you know, I wanted to get to know them. I'd say, tell me about yourself. Now, here's a typical story from a hardcore drug addict. And see if it doesn't sound like me and you. I'd say, what's your name? James. Well, James, tell me about yourself. He said, well, I was born right down the road here and went to school here. I'm a kind, considerate, generous person. I help people when I see them in need. And, you know, I'm kind of good to everybody. And goes on with that story, and I'm looking at him. My God, that's the kind of guy I am. So I go to the guy next to him. It's these guys now have been there for a while. This happened after we were in there for a while. But I'd ask the guy that. And I'd go to the guy next to him that's begin to look at his heart. And I'd say, what do you think of what he just told you? He's a liar. Good God. I'd go around the room. Every guy would look at him and say, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He'll go all the way around the room, everybody would look at the poor guy and say, he's a liar. So he got back around to me, and I'd look at him and I'd say, James, is the truth that you're a liar? That you have stolen from your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters? Anybody you knew that you could get away with it, you've robbed them? That you're a sexual pervert? And I go on down the list, and I get all through, and I say, now, which one of these is you? The you that you told me about, or the you I just told you about? He said, I'm just like the things you said. And do you know what? What I discovered is I could say that about anybody in here. Do you realize how differently each one of us would live if we could admit that to each other? We'd stop putting on our airs. Do you know something that I believe? And this is going to sound very radical to you. I believe if we could admit that to each other, we would dress differently. I think our dress is part of the lie. I do. I believe if we could get honest with each other, our whole countenance would be different. We're trying to impress each other. We, for instance, give you an example. George Bush could walk in that door right now, and a ghetto mother with four kids could walk in that door, and we would all go greet this man. Because we value him by what his profession is, not by the fact that he's a human being. Don't we? Is there anybody in here that if George Bush and a stinking black lady with four kids screaming and yelling, honey, I want this! Honey, I want this! And George Bush walking out, where would you go? Now, I don't want you telling me. I want you just telling your heart. And you can turn to your back page and say, I'm prejudiced. People impress me by the way they dress and what they do. The doctor walks into the room and everybody goes, oh, doc, good to meet you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My son's a doctor.
Yeah, your son the doctor. Well, glad to meet the son. You know, and the drug addict, yes, here's what you say. Get that sucker out of here, man. The president's here. You know, the president just walked in. Get those squealing kids out of here. Kick Jesus out. The president just came in. Isn't that the way we are? I'm sorry to just... I just feel like it's necessary. I think this is what I have to offer to you. We must look at our hearts and we must begin to cry out to God, create in me a new heart. Create a new one. And I wouldn't even tell you this if I thought it'd get you down in the dumps. Do I look like I'm down in the dumps? No, folks, this is what sets you free. It's the lie we're living that keeps us bound. Like I'm okay, when inside me there's something that knows, boy, you're not okay. Who in the heck do you think you're kidding? Because God lives in us, folks, whether you like it or not, He's there. Whether you like it or not, God loves you. You don't have to invite God into your heart. He is in it. You don't have a choice. The question is, are you going to let Him live or are you going to keep nailing Him to the cross? You going to let Him be resurrected and conform your life to His life, or are you going to keep crucifying Him over and over and over again for the same sins? Over and over and over and over and over. Now, as we go on for the next couple of days, I'm sure in one of these sessions, I'll talk to you some about how you begin to practice this. And the key to it is the Christian discipline of fasting. You know how that brother gave up drugs? He went on a drug fast. He stopped using them. And stays away from them. He went on a drug fast. I used to think fasting was something that, you know, I didn't eat and God loved me. I got some kind of special favors from God. No, it's learning to control yourself. The most insidious lust in our bodies is to stuff our face. And if you can't control that, you can forget loving the way Jesus loves. That's part of it. And I'll tell anybody in here that's not overweight, don't do a food fast. We'll talk about some other fasts later. Fasting is a Christian discipline. Do you know why the church said, y'all go ahead and eat meat on Friday? You know, 26 years ago, it was a mortal sin to eat meat on Friday. You know that? Mortal sin. Now, do you think the church, in its wisdom, and folks, if we think the church has any wisdom at all now, we got to think there was some wisdom up behind telling folks, go ahead and eat meat on Friday, you know. Today it's a mortal sin, tomorrow it's okay. Here's why. In the church, and I wish that everybody in here was not eating meat on Friday now. But I'm going to tell you why. To do the right thing for the wrong reason is the greatest treason. You should listen to me. To do the right thing for the wrong reason is the greatest treason because you become a false witness. God, folks, I could give up meat on Friday and eat lobster and love it. Say, woo, boy. Oh, man, it's Friday. It's tuna casserole. Woo! love tuna casserole, folks. Wow, give me some tuna. Let's have shrimp. It's Friday, we can't eat meat. Well, nobody felt that way but me, I'm sure. I mean, it was a real sacrifice for you, wasn't it, folks? And I'll tell you what, if it was a real sacrifice, you'd slip off in the corner someplace and eat your blooming meat. Wouldn't you? Oh, we're going to get honest with each other. Would we? Is anybody in here ever ate meat on Friday knowing it when it was a mortal sin? Father, please raise your hand. You ever eat meat on Friday when you knew it was a mortal sin? Ever?
I refused.
Refused to. He just took a... Folks, we need to get honest with each other. Father, thank you for letting me pick on you. Bless God. And if there's anybody in here said no, they didn't, they're alive. Now, I'll tell you what, Father, you didn't do it in front of anybody else, did you? See, and
I plead the
Fifth Amendment. We got the Fifth Amendment again. Do you see, folks? Here's what we're saying, that right there where it's just me and God, I wouldn't do it in front of my brother. Wouldn't want him to think I was a hypocrite. But it's all right if God knows I'm a hypocrite. Just where it's you and God, you'll lie. That's what we learn as we grow up. It's not the lying that's wrong, it's the getting caught. Isn't it? Folks, I want to tell you what, unless you're different than me, you're deep in this right now. I'm working on this every day in my life, and God reveals something to me every day. Brother, you could never catch me, though. Because I got them big ones out. It's them little suckers where it's just me and God, and they're the big ones. And I thank God He's begun to show them to me. I'm not ashamed to sit here and admit this to you at all, folks. I don't deserve to stand here and talk to anybody. I'm talking because I got something to say. That's all. If you run me out, I don't care. You stone me, I don't care. You cheer me on, I don't care. I've got in touch with something that to me is real. After living a lie for 40 solid years, a total lie. And I'll tell you, if I've got honest with me, and there's still some things I can't look my wife in the eye and tell her. But you know what? We can say, well, David, you don't have to. Maybe I don't have to. I want to. I want there to be one person on this earth that knows me inside and out. Folks, there's freedom in that. I want one person on this earth to know me like a book. You should hear some of the conversations I've had with my wife. And she loves me now, folks. Because you know what? Everything that I'd sit there and say, she'd go, oh, good. If he knows that about him, he must know what I've done. He must know the way. And girls, I've already found out, you girls look at guys just the way guys look at girls. So quit trying to pull the wool over on our eyes. Don't get too prim and proper with me. Y'all are just as lustful as we are. And the more free you get, the more the world's going to know it. That's how I began to know it. We started setting the ladies free, and they weren't the little ladies sitting in the rocking chairs. And they're acting just like us. And they've always been just like us, except they hid it. I'm not like them. I wear my skirt down to my ankles. And you're not looking at one inch. But I'm going to tell you what, when a handsome guy walked by, boy, I tell you. Am I wrong, girls? Any of you want to come here and repute what I'm saying? I'll let you. That's us. Isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Who are we kidding? We're not kidding God. We aren't kidding God, folks. Some of you go back to the back page and put something else on the list. I want you to look at your heart. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you'll walk out of here 10 feet off of this earth. Because God already knows it. And when you admit it, when you willfully bring it out, God will begin to heal it. You keep it repressed, and you're in darkness and bound as long as it's repressed. I want to tell you that the sacrament of confession is important. We've just got it sideways like we did fasting. You know what the most confessed sin in the church today is? Father, forgive me, I miss Mass. We've nearly got this world perfect. The worst thing people are doing that are in the church is missing Mass on Sunday. Forgive me, I miss Mass. Jeez, think about that, folks. That's the worst thing I did. I missed Mass last week, Father. Forgot to tell him I was a liar and a cheat, a thief. Well, who are you cheating, David? Well, I cheat you every chance I get, Father. If it's me or you, I'm the good guy and you're the bad guy. Any of you sit at home and talk about your priest? What are you saying? I'm the good guy, he's a jerk. He needs to get his act together. Father, you ever had any prisoners do that to you? Oh, Lord, yes. We need to get honest with ourselves. God knows us. If you want to be one with God, you got to be honest with you. And I want to tell you, it's good. It's good. I love to sit up here and tell you what a jerk I am. But I want to tell you, there's something lives in me and it gets bigger and bigger that's no jerk. And it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, folks, and these lies don't reside in the same temple. You got to let Him shine on them. This stuff that we've called Christianity is bunko, and God's letting us know it. It's a bunch of bunk. And I'm going to say it again. I'm not telling you that church is not good. Don't go to church. Thomas just came to see us. That's not what I'm saying. Church is to help us to grow. This afternoon I'll talk to you about that. I'll talk to you about what we got to get our eye on and the importance that church and all of the tradition in it plays in us growing in love. That's what they're all for. You do the sacraments and you become a lover. You can receive them and become the devil. But if you do them, you'll become a lover. Okay? Lord Jesus, help us to love one another. Help us, Lord, as we look at our hearts and recognize what we really are, to love the real us, because You love us just as we are. It is the free will that we have that has chosen to be fallen. It's that same will, Lord, that can choose You as our Lord and Savior, so as we can be holy people. Amen.